Good morning.
Your phone sounds great. Your phone sounds perfect. I don't care what anybody says. That's a good sounding phone you've got.
Well, I can hear you just fine this morning. So hallelujah.
That's a good two-way street. Margaret is out today. She'll be back next week. But we always get caught up on Wednesday morning of what's happening in county government. And one thing we did talk about on Monday that we hoped you could give us a little bit of light on. It's a hard thing to follow. A lot of the governmental issues that we deal with you are hard to follow as well. We have the case of Monroe County Assessor Judy Sharp versus CVS. And I don't mean Judy herself. You understand, and we understand what's going on here. But what I don't understand is, after reading the article in the HT on Monday, how this has gone from tax council to tax court to Supreme Court, and yet with the same set of data, twice they've won and twice they've lost. So it really doesn't matter who I'm speaking about because it's 2-2. what are we trying to accomplish here, Marty? And where is this thing going?
Well, first of all, let's talk about the difference in, you know, the tax court, Supreme Court, and whatever. If you have a long delay of waiting to be heard there at the tax court, and that's something we have to work with the state to say, move these cases through quicker, because there's a lot of counties that they've tried that, and they just can't hold off waiting, because the longer they have to wait for that to be debated, the more money that they might lose, have to pay back to the people who are saying, you've assessed me wrong, and so they move away from it. We need to have these cases heard very quickly so that people understand they're not racking up a huge amount of money they might have to pay back, such as when counties had to pay some back and the different taxing units have had to kick back in money to pay that back. So we don't want that to happen. We want to move through quickly. But it seems to me the big discussion here is whether or not a building is valued at the income approach or the market approach. Are you saying,
what does the law say? How about that?
Well, I think that's part of what's being debated. So not wanting to get in the middle of what is in the middle of a lawsuit here, I'm not going to weigh in too much on that, but I will on that particular case. But I will just say that the reason why this is important throughout the state is that it can set a precedent for how other big box stores might react through their assessments throughout the state. So hopefully this discussion and debate will be handled at the state level to make it more clear exactly what they intend at these stores. It shouldn't matter what the store is inside the building, but how it's to be assessed. And so,
well, the interesting part you brought up as well is they want these things to move through quickly and not to stick around and get tied up in court. Who pays for all these attorney fees and court costs and everything else?
Well, of course, our county taxpayers are paying for the lawyers that are representing us as we go forward, and that's being paid for out of, I believe, out of that reassessment fund, which has a separate tax rate. I understand why our assessor wants to make certain that we're doing all we can to keep the assessment values up, because if the higher the assessed values are, the lower the tax rates are for everyone else. And I also understand that at some point in time, if it's a done deal, you're not going to win, then you need to back off because we can't recoup that money.
Well, that's the thing that's puzzling, because of the four cases that have been presented, they've won two and lost two, so they're not winning, they're not losing, and that adds more confusion to
that
this.
That is exactly why I believe our assessor is saying, look, we don't have an answer here. If you say 2-2, that's still no answer. You're pretty much tied. So I think that's why there's a feeling that she would like to move forward and try to be successful at the outcome. So it's pretty much a wait and see kind of thing. But believe me, they have some high powered lawyers behind supporting what the big box stores want it to happen. And what we have to remember, this is not just big box stores. This is any large commercial building, because we're talking about commercial assessed value, which is a lot different than a residential assessed value. So however this turns out could affect the way commercial properties are assessed throughout the state.
Yeah, for it's a precedent setter, and that's why I think it's going to take more time than it's going to take less time. And Marty, some of these go back to 2007. We're talking 10 years ago trying to get getting everything figured out here. Well, I guess we'll just wait and see how the courts rule on this, and what happens when it's 3-3, 4-4, 5-5. At some point, we've got to keep moving on.
Right, and that's the reason why it's so important to have a full appointed groups of people or elected groups of people who have to make these decisions, so that we can get a definitive vote and everybody move on from wherever we are.
Marty Hawk's our guest this morning. The county councilwoman joins us every Wednesday morning to keep track of what's going on in county government and county finance. The county council's role, obviously, is making sure those tax dollars are being spent properly. Budget season, are we wrapped up on that? Where are we going there?
Okay, we were supposed to have had our first reading last night of our budget and a final adoption on Wednesday. Now, remember, we've only been working for months putting these numbers together, doing the financial statements, and figure out where the levies would go, whether or not they would be better put, take some from reassessment or take some from health and put over into general. And all the time we're looking at the cash balances and operating balances for each of those other funds and seeing where best to use your property tax dollars, where it's best placed. And so we find out that the auditor's office is not ready with the documentation for us to move forward on this. Now, remember, we have to have this done by the last of this month, 31st, drop-dead time, or the state will say you didn't get it done, and now you have to use, you know, the last year's numbers.
Yeah, this isn't a new procedure that just was put in place. This is how it's always been, correct?
Oh, no. You have to have it advertised so many days in advance. You have to do all of this in advance. It has to be absolutely out there and advertised so people will have an opportunity to say what they think about their tax dollars. But here is what is something new. This new LAL system, this accounting system that's in place, had not been used in our county to have everything entered to go into the state system, which is called the Gateway system. Now, for whatever reason, that was difficult, and I think it was a lot of it because it was brand new and because we had a new employee working on putting this together, and it was new to her as well, and because she had not been given the information by the auditor, it appears, as to when all of this needed to be ready and back to the county council, and perhaps it was not clear to the council how quickly we needed to have this back so that the communication could have happened and everybody would have made certain that it happened, it got back on time so that we would have time to review it and it would be entered and before we ever had our first reading. Well, come the weekend, and they're still working very hard to try to get it entered into Gateway, and we received information that the auditor, Auditor Smith, was going to be entering the tax rates and the levies. I mean, that's huge. If you're talking about how much property tax is going to go into each fund, and so she was going to be entering in those numbers. Well, when it was time to enter in those numbers, because it was happening like over the weekend on a Sunday before we had to read it on Monday, and they were having trouble with the gateway system. Well, there's no one at the state to call and say, hey, I guess I'm not understanding how to do this. It's not working quite right, whatever. There was no way for them to call and get help because, of course, the state's offices are closed. Which just says we can't ever, ever, ever wait again until the day before or the day of to enter these numbers.
Is there enough time to get this corrected before the end of the month?
Okay, so what we're going to do, we went ahead and met on Monday and then recessed that and continued that meeting on to Wednesday, which is what we today, when we were supposed to do the final adoption, but of course it's not ready. And now the auditor's office is all off to a conference, so they can't finish getting it ready. So now we're going to continue it on to the 24th, which will be the first reading, and hopefully everything is clear and ready for us to go, and well in advance of us looking at the lines, because it's our name on the dotted line. And then the final reading adoption would be on the 30th. So here's part of what it makes you want to scratch your head. What we are required to do is also vote on the Perry Clear Creek Fire Department and the Solid Waste District's budgets, and that's final reading and adoption. Now, theirs was all entered, and everything was ready to go. They weren't having a problem getting it entered, and they've had it there for some time, so it isn't like as if they were doing it last minute. So why didn't we go ahead and read theirs into the record and vote on it, on which would then have been tonight, and then theirs would have been done? Instead, they're tied up waiting around on us as well.
Well, what's the answer to that question? Why didn't that happen?
I don't know whether people didn't remember it, didn't think about it, didn't.
Oh, I thought you would remind them.
Well, but after it had already been read off, and I asked, had they been notified, and, do they understand these dates? And if I said, yes, they knew about it, well, it was kind of too late to change it then when we get into the meeting, because those folks weren't here because they were notified not to show up.
Gotcha.
I'm sure they didn't say don't show up, but just that we were going to be doing it at a different time. So my apologies to the Perry Clear Creek Fire Department and to the Solid Waste District, because they should not be tied up with our problems. But and then for whatever reason, we're discussing the different dates and everything, and Auditor Smith wanted to make a comment, and most of us thought she was going to be saying, here's lessons learned, here's what we're going to do different next year, we're going to start it earlier, we're going to have more people on deck, or we're going to have different deadlines, or, something of the sort. And that's not what we heard from her. What we heard from her was, she wanted to do a strategic savings plan by moving some of the levies from health or reassessment over into general. Well, okay, but that's what we've been talking about for, 2 months. And so I don't understand why she didn't understand we'd already been doing that. But
that department has had, since I've been doing this radio program for almost how many years now? Almost 9 years. It just seems like that's had issues, and I don't know how to solve it or But the job change annually? It doesn't change annually. You know what dates it is. You know what you have to have by certain times, and for whatever reason, I don't understand.
Well, I want to send out kudos to Lori Robinson, who is the first financial person. She has really put in so much work, as well as our council assistant, trying to get these things done. However, first year they've done it, and first year they've had to enter into Gateway, and for whatever reason, there was a vacation scheduled right there.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same old thing for almost a decade. It's every year there's problems, and it's just, I don't know what it is. And
Well, if we're fortunate enough to keep around the people who are learning how to do it, so it's not a new learning curve.
Well, I mean, it seems like if you have an excuse every year, then you can do pretty much anything you want because you just have these. It's new, it's this, it's vacations, it's conferences, it's just, it's annual. And maybe I should do a better job of, you know what, I'm not going to worry about it. This is this is up to the taxpayers to worry about, and they make their worries known when they go to that voting booth and pull that lever. So this is on that. This is these are elected officials by people that are registered to vote, and there you go.
Right, and I'll just say that. Trust me when I tell you, there are 7 council members there that were sitting there not real happy whatsoever that we were having to put everybody through this.
Yeah, I mean, it's every year. It's annual. You know? It's like having a homecoming dance. It happens every year. What's the difference? I mean,
yes.
It just continues on and on.
It's always some other big drama thing that we're having to work through. So, it's just amazing. But we'll get through it.
Always do.
And we want to continue a good working relationship with the auditor's office because we recall a time when it was so bad that we couldn't get any numbers. And and as a reminder, really, all those 16-line statements should have been coming from that office to begin with. And rather than that, because that wasn't happening, the county council did that ourselves, and Jeff McKim put numbers together. We all worked on those numbers and in our budget work sessions as well. So it will take training, and it will take communication and working together. And so let's just hope next year goes better. That's about all I can say about that. Let me also add a little bit about the convention center and little.
Yeah, where are we at in all of that?
I was really happy to hear it stated yesterday on your radio spot that there is the understanding that there needs to be a business plan, because that's part of what we had called for at our meeting when we were talking
about. Tim Mayer, retired city councilman, joined us yesterday to give his thoughts on the project, and that's his suggestion was. That's what he thought needed to take place and happen. If you missed Tim's interview, you can listen to it at WGCLradio.com. But to your point, go ahead, Marty. Yeah, the question was, from an outsider looking in, how do you think this needs to be put together? And that was one of Tim's recommendations.
Rather than just come and have a big push for the county council to move forward blindly on a food and beverage tax to pay for, we don't even have the exact dollar, but it would be about $35 million to build these buildings, but there wasn't a business plan what's going to cost to operate those buildings once you've built them, and is $35 million the right price, and what will it take per month and per year to pay off a bond for that, and how much would an innkeeper's tax bring in if you raise it 2%, how much of that per year could that bring in? And if you don't know how much you need, how do you know if that 2% would be enough or not? Then you'd have to look at how much we could bring in from that huge city TIF that's supposed to be there to create jobs and in a healthy environment.
When you talk about these numbers and talk about where this is going to come from, are you talking about just the initial cost to build all this? Or are you talking about the extended cost of operating, running, maintaining, et cetera, on everything?
Absolutely. That's what a business plan is supposed to be all about.
Yeah, just making sure people understand this. This is not a one-time, here's how we get to this number, and it stops. This has to be a continuation of how it works itself out.
To me, it's ridiculous. I didn't understand, the county commissioners put together this committee that didn't say, look, put a business plan together or bring financial plans or bring any financing to the county at all. They just said, go see what you'd like to build. And then when it came back to the commissioners, they threw it at the council and said, you figure out how to pay for it. And so here we are with the whole world thinking that this is the monkeys on the county council's back. And if we don't just vote blindly for a food and beverage tax, that we're the bad guys. Now, I believe you're going to see the majority of the county council, Monroe County Council, wants to see downtown Bloomington be healthy and alive. And that's a part, if convention center was a very big part of the reason why we had the convention center to begin with many, many years ago, was to assist with downtown environment, and that really has helped. And we've seen a growth of some very nice hotels right downtown because our visitors want to be walking downtown, enjoying our downtown atmosphere. That's important. So all of these numbers need to come together, and we were asked to make out a list of our questions that we might have of financial advisor, and that's now gone to the commissioners with our list of questions. Now, I really, to me, it seems a bit backwards that we wouldn't wait, first of all, for a business plan, because how do we know what questions we might have if we don't have the business plan first? And for those people who are major supporters of this, they need to say, if we can't get the food and beverage tax, if we don't have those 4 votes out of 7 sitting there on the county council, what are other options? And remember, the options are far different now than they were a few years ago. The legislation has changed about our income tax. The city changed the way they're capturing all these taxes there in that downtown tip. There's a lot of different methods. We could go for a larger innkeeper's tax. And of course, I've been saying all along, I support the larger innkeeper's tax, and certainly we should be writing a resolution encouraging the city to look to their that huge tip and that increase in revenue that is there in that huge tip.
Who's going to be the ringleader that brings us all together and brings the city and county together and gets this thing moving in the direction? Is it the special commission? Who is going to be in charge of that?
Well, they have not been assigned the job to work out the finances, and it just seems to me that as long as those people who are pushing hard for food and beverage, and I know the city is pushing hard for the county to put that in place, but what other options do they want to put on the table? Because what could happen, and the county council are becoming very aware of this, the city could say, county, go put in place a food and beverage tax, most of which will go to the city. And then next year, the city, because they're in charge of the income tax council, could put in place an additional economic development tax on top of our income tax, and they would get both of them. Now, that's just not acceptable, but there's no way to guarantee that wouldn't happen. So there are many of us who are saying, let's look at that downtown tip. Let's look at that huge tip. Let's look at that innkeeper's tax. Let's see other ways that we can do this without a new tax on locals. And, you know, if you're saying look at another way to fund it, does not mean you're not in favor of this convention center. It says let's look at options.
It's a big decision, and no point in hurrying up and getting it done to make sure it's not correct or in the right spot there. So we'll talk next Wednesday, see what else is happening, see if we can get your numbers ready to go for the state.
I wanted to tell you about the elevator. That's not until next year. So now
next year,
everybody doesn't have to rush. Yeah, they were going to fix the elevator this year. Now they're saying, no, it's not going to happen until next year.
Why not?
So, evidently, the elevator people couldn't work it in. And then next week, we want to talk about the fact that it appears the judges have said they are no longer in favor of funding a work release center.
Funding a work release center? I thought that was already built in the parking garage.
That was not.
The overflow. Oh, I'm sorry. I get all these.
All these other jails that are overcrowded, they have work release centers that are not being fully utilized, so the judges are saying they think it is inevitable that we will have to build a new jail. at some point in time. That's the reason why the county council has to be very cautious about any
now,
new taxes.
A new jail, meaning the one we have now does what, and then we just build a brand new one, or we build one in addition to?
That's all.
Because we just built that $9 million parking garage right next to it, right?
Got it.
Now, can we pick that up and move it like one of those old houses you see going down the street where you get the wide load thing on it and you close down a couple streets and you can move that parking garage, right? Right. Right.
We didn't get to vote on that parking garage.
I don't think I did either. Good job as always.
You do get to pay for it.
Well, that's kind of how this thing is working if you don't listen to this program. Thank you for your time as always, and we'll get caught up with you next week.
Okay, bye-bye.